In the outskirts of Los Angeles, in the sprawl of suburban homes that sit in the lap of dry gold hills, there is a garden. In the warmth of late summer evenings, the perfumes of honeysuckles and jasmines in this garden are maddening. Earthen pots of cosmos and geraniums surround the yard. Near the back wall grows a pomegranate tree. A fig tree fruits in the late summer. The grape arbor hides her clusters in among the leaves. The boughs of the apple tree nearly touch the soil in autumn, and the orange tree, soaking beneath the Southern California sun, provides year-round. Mint vines creep to cover the grounds, and nasturtiums explode in blossom. This garden belongs to an elderly woman. Her name is Mahbube Malakuti. Her first name means the most beloved. Her last name means of the heavenly. Mahbube tends to the trees and flowers of her garden, dirt in the creases of her hand. She pats the trunks of her trees and speaks to them softly. "This you must learn," she says to them, "that the word paradise is a Farsi word. It means the space within enclosed walls, a cultivated place set apart from the vast wilderness." She talks to her roses, holds up a thorned stem, and says, "First, I grate the end of your stalk." She rubs a small knife against the stem, "then bind you to the stalk of another rose." She wraps string about the two sticks and pushes them into the soil of a small pot. She waters the bare sticks and waits silently for the water to be absorbed. Then, after a long while, she says, "You will take root, and once you have roots, you can grow in the soil of any garden." Her garden brims with blossoming roses, yellow, pink, loose-leafed petals and candy stripe of red and white, pungent and scentless, long-stemmed and short bushes. Each year she grafts more and more, searching for a rose with the color and the perfume of the one she remembers from another garden. Mahbube carries with her stories. They pour out of her and fill the spaces she inhabits, like so many hungry ghosts, begging to exist. Sometimes she forgets the parameters of that space, the dictations of time, and she slips into the past of her stories. The urgent horn of a car in the street outside her home sounds, and in her mind, Mahbube hurries through the crowded streets of Tehran, a young woman again, with her books clutched against her chest, her heels click-clicking against the sidewalk, her eyes focused on the end of the block, the turn that follows to the gate of Danesh Sadoye Ali. She greets the schoolmaster, who waits outside to ensure the safe passage of his charges. She enters the school, walks up the stairs, against the marble of the hallway to the classroom, with its scent of chalk, its wooden desks, the chatter of girls laughing and talking. An instructor walks in, and the girls rise immediately and in unison greet him. "Salam, aga mohebi," and he responds, "Be seated, class," before he picks up the chalk and begins writing on the board. Mahbube copies furiously in her notebook, page after page, and at the end of the year, again and again and again, she is recognized as the best, the brightest among the students. The schoolmaster announces her name, and she hears applause, until a neighbor shouts in English, "I'm coming, give me a minute." Then Mahbube looks about her as though she is waking from a dream. She remembers the garden from her childhood. A tall brick wall separated it from the streets of the Jewish Mahalle in Kermanshah. Within those walls, the garden grew secretive and lush, teeming with flowers and fruiting trees. It encircled the family estate, and in the middle of those buildings sat a courtyard, surrounded on all four sides by the family home. A large fountain gurgled in the middle of that courtyard. There is a photograph of Mahbube standing before that fountain as a young woman, already married, returning to visit Rachel on the day the family estate in Kermanshah is sold. The remaining members, Yusef's widow and all her children, will move to Tehran, trailing an old, embittered Rachel behind them, who cursed and damned fate and God and every member of the family on the whole of the journey there, and for the rest of her days, which she spent in the attic of the new mansion on Shah Reza Street, yelling from an open window so that all those passing below could hear how she was cheated out of her fortune.